When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who continues to refer to himself as the bad boy of tech and plans to integrate this joke that I don't know if anybody actually gets. He's integrating it into our new YouTube channel that's going to be launching shortly. He's across the internet. He's at an undisclosed location. I can't even tell what he looks like through Zencaster right now. He just looks like he's on a Game Boy camera. But how are you doing, Brad?
I've pixelated everything. Hopefully it stays that way. And I'm hostaging myself. I'm not coming into work today. I'm out. I can't. I'm in a warehouse with my hands tied behind my back, and I'm just not going to make it in. Plus, the TTC didn't seem to be running well. Who knew?
And they're filming you with a Game Boy camera.
Yeah, it's weird. They're like three dudes having a LAN party and some nerd with a Game Boy camera just staring at me. But it's fine.
What is a Game Boy camera?
You don't know what the Game Boy camera is, really?
It was like this huge like webcam that like plugged into the Game Boy. But what would you say the resolution was? Like 40, maybe by like 60 pixels? So like everything was just the brutalest?
Yeah. Like the camera itself was like no megapixels as well. And it wasn't even color. It was in black and white. Yeah, and they sold a printer too. You could plug it into the original Game Boy and print out your pictures.
I think I knew of a printer though, weirdly.
Yeah. You've seen the camera. Seen like Bennett is like a teenager and he knows what it is.
Yeah.
Pokemon didn't need a camera, so that's all I cared about.
I don't think I don't know if any games realistically needed the camera. Like it was like taking pictures, and it would take a picture of something in real life and how shitty it would make it look like it was a Game Boy game, which is like obviously 99% downgrade over what real life looks like.
I still have mine and my original Game Boy buried somewhere in like my basement.
In his backyard.
It'd be great if I just buried it in my backyard. Make a little like tombstone for it.
Time capsule.
Game Boy camera.
That'd be sick. Honestly, I wish I would have like time capsule the Game Boy that I could like open up in 10 years, just pull it out with like Pokemon Emerald or something.
Lose my mind.
I think we're off track.
Yeah, did we even introduce you? Who is this guy? Who is this other guy here?
Unfortunately, this is not a Game Boy camera podcast, as much as I would love to just sit here for an hour and talk about the Game Boy camera. We also have Dean Daly on the show this week. He's going to talk about all things Galaxy Z Fold and Flip. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm good. I'm sad that I didn't know what a Game Boy camera was, but I'm good otherwise.
During the podcast, I'm going to Google Game Boy camera. I'm going to send you the photo, and you're going to stop talking and be like, oh my God, I know what that is. There's no way you don't know.
Okay, cool. All right, let's see.
So as you may have already guessed, this week is our little preview episode for the Galaxy Z Fold 3 and the Galaxy Z Flip 3. I will likely say the name of those phones wrong at least 20 times over the course of this podcast because for whatever reason, I just can't say them. I would argue that they're like poorly named phones, but we'll get into that later. Before we talk about the devices that are coming up, let's get into the hottest news of the week.
All right, so starting off, it's some classic Mobile Syrup news, but it turns out that Canadian carriers hate Canadian consumers, and they just hate us all, which is rough. And if you work for a Canadian carrier, I'm sorry that I said that, and I'm sorry that maybe I made you feel upset. But
the connection, I'm gonna get an email now.
Yeah, I'm getting three emails. I mean, six emails. Not Freedom though, because they're still kind of in limbo. But yeah, basically Bell, Rogers, Telus, and I believe their flanker brands have all at this point raised their connection fees to 50, at least Bell, Rogers, Telus, which means that the flanker brands will happen at some point. But
yeah, Kudo, Virgin, and thing, and I'm pretty sure Fido did as well.
They're all, yeah, so connection fees are $50. I mean, when I started at Mobile Syrup in the beginning, I started right at the beginning of 2018 or the end of 2017. Either way, somewhere around that point, I think it was $35. I remember one of like the first stories I was writing was like, Ian, which is the old owner, telling me like, hey, like, can you look this up, find out what the old connection fees were? And at that point, 3 years ago, being like, oh my goodness, like over the last 3 years, the connection fees, it went from $15 to $35. This is crazy. And now here we are 3 years later, from $35 to $50, I believe. So connection fees will keep going up. I'm excited to be on this podcast 3 years from now, and we'll talk about the connection fees being $100. And I hope everyone else is excited too. You guys?
I just thought of a really good feature idea. I'd love to like know what a carrier would say if you asked them what the connection fee goes to. Like,
yeah,
what the justification for that is. Because I'm sure like realistically it goes to nothing. But I would just be interested in seeing like what their PR answer would be. It'd be like something like maintaining the last mile infrastructure from our nodes to your house or something like that.
Building out cutting edge 5G that can only be, you know, stretched across the vast landscape of Canada, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Canadian telecoms.
I'm sure the excuse is 5G.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. But they've had it before 5G. I think you're right. Yeah. Now they would say 5G.
They just update it. Yeah. They send you the PR email with 4G crossed out, 5G.
Exactly. That's what they would do.
But yeah, I don't know. After, I don't think we actually talked about this in the last Sharpcast because I think this came out in between episodes, but there was maybe last week, there was like this report that came out. It was like, look at data prices all over the world. Here's Canada at the tail end of the graph, like four times as expensive as everyone else. We're still here. Now we've got the connection fees. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it too much. I just want everyone to know that we're not happy about it and that I think the carriers are ripping us off.
Are you telling me that we're not happy when prices increase?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. And I'm telling everyone. I'm telling the world. I'm pissed. Let's move on to some more fun news. And this is actually one that Dean wrote, so hopefully we can talk about it a lot because that last one was not so fun. But Netflix is working on a live-action Pokemon show. And that's pretty exciting, I guess. Like, do you think it'll be sort of in the Detective Pikachu universe or a whole separate thing?
It would probably be its own separate thing, but stylized in the Detective Pikachu world, because like they don't have any ties with the people who made Detective Pikachu, I don't think. Like, they don't, it's not like they made Detective Pikachu so then they can add it to their world, right?
You mean like Netflix?
Would it be based on a game like the Pokemon Red or like Pokemon Silver or whatever?
I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool.
They didn't give us, they were like, there's like Variety got the exclusive and they're like, there is no details except for...
No, I know. I know that's what was in the report. I mean, like, in your professional Pokemaster opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my professional Pokemaster opinion? I still have no clue.
Okay, well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want it
what
to
I
be?
What I want?
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool if it was just, like, its own thing out of the games. I don't know. I've seen it. Or maybe, like, truer to the games and not the anime. So like Red story instead of Ash's story.
Didn't they make that? Isn't there an anime?
That's, yeah, there is. That's very like similar. Pokemon Legends or Generations, one of those.
Yeah, I watched it all.
It was actually sick. It was more of like an intense anime art style, like less little kiddish. Although, I don't know. If that's really the right way to describe it. Both of them are fine, but that was really cool. I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I kind of hope that they do it in the style of Detective Pikachu, just because like the CG in that movie was like really great. It was like kind of weird, but kind of fun to like see all these Pokemon look in like real life. So I wish they'll do that. If Netflix will like put the budget towards a TV show, that would need to be to like bring the CGI up to that level would be another story.
Fun fact: that was the last movie I saw before the pandemic.
Oh, that is a fun fact.
In theaters, specifically.
Yeah. No, you have, like Patrick hasn't. Yeah, you didn't see.
No, that was seriously the last
Christopher Nolan movie. That came, no, that was mid-pandemic.
Nope.
Tenet? Is it Tenet?
Nope.
Yeah,
I didn't see Tenet. Nope.
Yeah, I saw Tenet in theaters last year.
Same.
I
stopped going to movies. I just didn't, like, even before the pandemic, I just didn't go very often.
Yeah. I'm really close. I mean, I kind of wanted to go and see, like, Inside, but there's only, like, one showing and it was, like, sold out. And then the other showing was, like, right.
Oh, yeah, they're playing it in theaters.
Yeah, so maybe if they keep playing it, like if it just keeps getting people, maybe I'll go like next week or something. Or I'll be on vacation next week, so I guess not. But I would kind of want to see that. Money? Oh, for
award
run. Yeah, an award run. Exactly. Which is rightfully so. I think it should sweep the musical comedy category, I think.
I think it's going to sweep several categories.
Wait, what movie?
Bo Burnham's Inside special on Netflix. I sent you the All Eyes on Me song the other day. I was like,
I refuse to listen to it.
Why?
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's just, I don't. It's not me. It's not like me type of thing. I'm sorry. I turned on the Netflix special on my TV.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck, he's gonna sing all day this whole time, and I was just like,
but he's like good at it, and it's sad.
I was like, nah, let me watch some anime.
But yeah, fair enough. I wanted to see that. And then there's an Anthony Bourdain documentary called Roadrunner. And then I will see that before it ends its theatrical run, I think. I'm a huge Parts Unknown fan. So looking forward to that. But anyway, moving on from theaters, I guess Pokemon live action coming to Netflix. Do we even know when? Doesn't seem like it, eh?
No, not at all.
It's coming. We're excited about it. This is Mobile Syrup, the home of people that like Pokemon. So moving on. Next one, this is a leak, so it kind of ties into what we're talking about the rest of the episode, but this is for the Microsoft Surface Duo 2, which is Microsoft's folding phone.
Well, I wrote this too.
Yeah, this is the Dean episode. Welcome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Dean show.
I don't remember what I wrote. So.
Basically, it's got a giant 3-camera module on it now that looks bigger than camera modules on every phone out. It looks so thick.
Yeah, it looks huge, but I think it's just really a pretty basic camera setup, telephoto, wide angle, and
yeah
so it's unnecessarily huge. What did the old Surface have?
It had one single camera. Really tiny camera, which I liked because it was really subtle. You didn't have to It was this phone is not about the camera. This is about folding and getting business done. This is the new BlackBerry, people. Don't worry about the camera. Anyway, I think a lot of reviewers, I think even John was saying cool phone, but the camera really did suck. So I'm sure reviewers and people who do take pictures or buy this $2,000 phone will be happy. But to me, I think compromising that ultra thin, ultra sexy design into something with a giant camera is not really going to work out.
I don't think anything of two displays is going to work out.
You don't think so?
Yeah, the Surface Duo, I don't think it's even a good idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't used the Fold enough to weigh in heavily, but I kind of like the dual display. I like the idea that you can fold it all the way around and just use it a single display, but.
I played around with it in a Microsoft store. It feels really cool. The bezels were a little chunky. Mm-hmm. I think that if they're able to get the price down and fix some of the issues, the camera problem, we'll talk about this when we get into the Samsung foldable phones, but for me, there's too many compromises with it, right? And it's too expensive. It needs to offer the same functionality as a high-end Android phone or an iPhone Pro, whatever. For it to be a worthwhile device to me, and that's not where the Surface Duo was, the first one at least.
Yeah, I think it even had an old processor.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
It was outdated.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully this next one has a better processor. That would be a big thing for it. And then I'll just breeze over this last two pieces because I'm not sure how interested you guys will be in them, but there's this company in Germany who's partnering with the University of Illinois, or no, the Government of Illinois and the University of Purdue, which is kind of a lot of non-Canadian specific places, but they're working on this magnetized cement to hopefully charge cars as they drive. It's a pipe dream. I mean, we see these come up all the time where it's this will be the future of charging. I think there was a metal strip in the road that people were talking about.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
it's like a slot car.
Yeah, and roads made out of solar panels and stuff. So we're always companies are always working on it, and it is always really exciting to see what could they do? You know, it's a pipe dream. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. But I got kind of excited about it yesterday. You know, I like the idea of magnetized cement, just charging my car forever. That seems really satisfying. I don't know. And then the last one is just John wrote this. It's about Android 12, which we've talked about on the podcast before, and about its theming options, how it can adjust the colors used throughout the operating system based on your wallpaper. But what we found in the beta 3, and I mean, the rest of the internet also found, is that they've now taken some of the controls you had before about customizing icons and choosing your own colors and stuff. And they've sort of scaled those out of the beta, at least for Android 12, and replaced it with this custom color theming, which is cool because the custom color theming thing seems really smart and really fun. But also if you're whole idea is to make this really customizable operating system that everyone will like and be able to tailor to themselves. Pulling customizations back that we used to have seems like a weird way to get there.
I don't think they are trying to, though. I think they're trying to make it like an iPhone. Like, at least the Pixel. Like everything they make, everything they do, I assume, is like they want it for the Pixel, right?
Yeah, yo, for sure. For sure.
At this point. Yeah, so and I think that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to make it their own iPhone. So it will be less. I think this version of the Pixel will be less customizable than we're used to. And if you want a customizable phone, you have to get a OnePlus.
No one should get a OnePlus. Let's move on.
Do we want to talk about the foldable boys now?
Sure. Yeah. I got them right here. Can you imagine? It's like the Fold 3 right here.
Yeah.
No. Oh, but... he just pulls it up on camera. You're like MKBHD. Yeah. You just revealed it live on the Serpcast.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Time out before we talk about these folding boys. Did you guys see the new MKBHD channel that came out last night?
The behind the scenes thing?
Yeah, studio.
I haven't watched anything, but I saw tweets.
I saw you had a white iPhone 13 video came out yesterday, last night.
Those are like, don't get me started on those like dummy videos. I'm sad that he did that. Like, I just,
dumb. You know, he's got to make the content that gets the clicks for sure. But no, the studio tour was cool. You get to see like there's 6 or 7 people that work behind the scenes there now, and you get to like see what they all do. But like just what you're talking about, like the sneaky things in MKBHD videos. One of the things he said in the studio tour, which was the first video on the studio channel, was just like, here's a box, and he pulled out like this like handmade like wooden box with like green painter's tape on the top, and just said embargo box. He's like, for filming studio videos, everything embargoed has to go in this box. And then he like opened it, and there was like a light like this inside of it, so it like started glowing like the Pulp Fiction briefcase.
Yeah, that's funny.
So that was funny. So hopefully he's trying to be better with it, but who knows.
So there's 2 foldable phones coming out from Samsung. There's the Galaxy Z Fold 3 and the Galaxy Z Flip 3. I find these names incredibly awkward. I already talked about that. I've used both phones. I have both of them right now. I'm writing like a little story about which way foldable phones should fold, for lack of a better way to describe it. I haven't been following the leaks on these new devices, so this is like the Dean Daily Show to some extent. I think we'll start with the Galaxy Z Fold 3. When I wrote about, I guess I didn't write about the second one. I wrote about the first one, right? Dean, you covered the Fold 2.
Yeah.
Using it over the last little bit, I've actually used it last week as my main phone, which is shocking because the internet thinks I never switched from an iPhone. I did use it for a couple days. Just mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. I found that like there's not a lot of compromises with the device. But I wasn't a big fan of the display. Like, I like that it folds, but it still feels very plasticky and stuff like that. In terms of the leaks that we've seen so far, Dean, is that changing? Is there anything, like, exciting about this device that people should get hyped about? Or is this just another minor incremental improvement over the Z Fold 2?
I think what's probably the most exciting thing is that under-display camera.
Is that happening?
Yeah, it's happening. Ooh. So there's supposed to be, like, so there's 2 selfie cameras. This is the Z Fold 2, clarify. I'm not leaking a phone. And there's 2 selfie cameras.
It'd be so good if you were.
Yeah, one here, one here. And this one that would be here, it'd be under the display. So when your screen is off like how mine is, and dirty apparently, there won't be a camera there at all. You shouldn't be able to see the camera in theory because it's supposed to be like hidden. Apparently when there is kind of like, you can still kind of like, if you look close enough, you can be like, okay, I know where the camera is supposed to be. Like that's kind of like an outline supposedly, yeah. But because under display technology isn't the greatest yet. But that I think is one of the coolest things about the phones coming out. Unfortunately, from this news, that camera is gonna be 4 megapixels.
That's what I was gonna ask you next. Low.
Yeah,
like okay, cool. Under display cameras are here. I still think that like the cutout cameras were fine. Like that was like where we needed to be with that. And I don't think that we need under display cameras. But like, isn't there gonna be a compromise with that where it's not as good as like last year's? I wouldn't like, as someone, if I was gonna go out and buy this phone, I wouldn't want that. I'd rather just have like a notch or like a hole punch rather than having a shitty camera that's under a display. You know what I mean?
So what's kind of dumb about the Z Fold lineup in total is that it even has a camera there. It doesn't really need one because you can take selfies with your rear facing camera. Can't see it. You can see selfies. Like,
what are
this.
You supposed to do when it's unfolded?
Yeah, you take selfies like this.
I think it's like, less for selfies. It's more for video calls, which you would have to like see the screen for.
That's fair point.
You can
use
your other selfie camera. There's so many options.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
just use your Z Flip 3 when you're taking a video call and like browse on your Z Fold 3.
But yeah, so apparently it's going to use like some AI and like lighting and some all this BS to make it try to seem less like a 4-megapixel camera. But according to Ice Universe, that leaker in Asia somewhere, I don't know where he's from, it's just not going to be as good as other selfie cameras. Like selfie cameras. Like,
it's so stupid to me. Why introduce
but
new
it's
cool technology?
Be the best under display camera there is so far. Which I think ZTE just launched one today.
They did.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be, this one's supposed to be better. So
they offered
me Sorry, go.
I was just going to say ZTE offered me a review unit again. They offered me one like 2 weeks ago. I was like, yes, please. And then today they're like, hey, it's out. You want a review unit? And I was like, yeah. We already been down this road. Yeah.
They sent me one too. They sent me an email too about that. And I was just like, oh, that's Brad's thing. That's Brad's baby. Yeah. He loves them.
Yeah.
Other than that selfie camera, that's not going to work well. It's supposed to be water resistant, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think
we were talking about that yesterday.
Interesting.
I think that's a huge move because that's another big compromise with these foldable phones, right? There's no, at least to my knowledge, previously there was no level of water resistance. And now what's it? It's IP68.
It's IP68.
Sorry,
IP6X.
X8.
No, IP68. Okay. Yeah. So how water.
X8 is good.
Yeah, X8 is great, right? So how water, I don't know if listeners know, but how water and dust resistance work is the first number in the column. So in a lot of phones, IP68, the 6 means is how dust resistant it is, and the 8 is how water resistant it is. So this phone is still not dust, sand. Like, you don't want to get it. You don't want to go to the beach and keep it in your pocket and get sand in it because it will still not work well. It will. But it can get wet. So if you bring it to the beach and you go swimming with it, it should be fine.
Can you submerge it entirely?
Depends on the beach.
Yeah.
It would have to be a freshwater beach.
That is very true. It would have to be a freshwater beach.
Eight is submerged.
Yeah, it is past the meter. So you can swim past the meter. And like, I don't want to bring my phone that deep, but it's cool that you can.
Yeah, it's not really about taking your phone swimming. For me, waterproofing is about being able to put my phone in between the two shower curtains and listen to a podcast when I'm showering without having to worry about it in case it gets a little splashed.
Oh.
And that's like all that waterproofing means. Or if I like fall out of a boat, maybe. But like that's all waterproofing means to me.
I did have a lot of fun. Good. Go ahead, Dean.
I was just going to say, I think waterproofing is for those people who would drop their phones into the toilet all the time. And then it's waterproof. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I have never
done have a lot of fun with the first iPhone. I can't remember the first one that was waterproof. Was that the 7?
Yeah.
Just like throwing it in the pool and watching people's reactions. Like that was kind of funny for a time because that was like one of the first devices that was like entirely waterproof other than I think the Note 7, the ill-fated Note 7.
There were a few Android phones at the time, I think, but yeah.
Listen in, and we should just do some like water tests after I've taken all the pictures, after I've done the review. Do some water testing with that phone and see how.
Yeah, I'm sure Samsung would love that. We have a great history with testing the durability of Samsung phones, but we
I've only broken one phone from Samsung, to be clear.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't trying to break it. We're just stupid.
It was supposed to be a durable phone.
Yeah, those
good times.
Melted.
Other specs include like 12 gigabytes of RAM, Snapdragon 888 processor, up to I think 512 gigabytes of storage, but I could be wrong. It could be 256.
What?
Oh, and an S Pen.
They won't bump that up to a terabyte though. There was a terabyte in the Note, wasn't there? You could get a Note with a terabyte.
That was like their only phone I think that ever had a terabyte.
I mean, and it was unrealistic. No one needed it, but like,
yeah, no one bought it.
Pushing the boundary, Samsung. That's what you're here for. Your job in this phone world is to push boundaries. Like, let's not go back a step.
Two questions about the screen. One, you mentioned that it's S Pen compatible, right?
Yes.
And then the other one, is it 120 hertz?
Yeah, I think both of the screens are 120 hertz.
By that you mean like the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3?
No, I mean the
Z Fold 2. Means the inner and outer.
Oh, the inner and outer. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that could, don't hold me to that. That could be wrong, but I think both of them are. For sure the inside one is. The inside one is for the Z Fold 2, right? Thankfully they're not going backwards.
There's so many leaks at this point. Like, this is Samsung leak season, right? So it's hard to keep them straight. Like, I'm not writing the content, but I'm editing it, and like, I can't. Yeah. It's hard to retain the differences between what Ice Universe says and like what every other leaker is saying.
It's 120 hertz and S Pen. Although I haven't found a leak saying that like the Z Fold 3 will hold the S Pen in it, like a note.
It has to. Yeah, no, don't. It has don't to, even. Right? Don't you dare utter those words.
But I have not seen that leak yet. I've just seen the leak saying compatible with S Pen Pro and S Pen Foldable Edition, but I've never seen
it. It has to, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if they just go the iPad Pro route and they just like stick it to it with a magnet. Yeah, it's
magnetic too.
That's the S21 Ultra, right? Like, it was compatible with the S Pen, but there's no way to like put it inside it because it was just like an extra accessory you had to buy.
You just keep that
exactly, protector. Which is why I've been looking for a leak saying that, and I haven't.
Is that what they're going to do though? Like, will they just release it as an extra accessory?
I don't know, but wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah,
I wouldn't even review it.
S Pen 120. Oh my god. Okay, no. Wait, did you say you would review it?
I wouldn't even review it.
No. If the S Pen comes out as its own product. Separate, and you have to buy it for like $129.89. I don't care. We are going to review S Pen. I don't like 200 words. Samsung Galaxy S Pen 2021 review. Snappy headline. We should just review the S Pen. Just be like, Samsung did it. They did it to us. They made us. I think that could be really funny. And
I think it would. I don't think they would do that. It has to go in.
Especially if they're killing the note.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like, how satisfying is it going to feel? Like, I wish I had a book to like demo this, but like unfold it, pull the pen out and start writing. Like, that is a dream situation. Yeah. And then you write things, do drawings, little art on the go, or art in the bathtub because it's going to be waterproof now.
So the last thing that I want to know. I do that too.
I was literally talking with Alex. We were walking home yesterday and I was like, how come iPads aren't waterproof? You know what I mean? Like, I want to bring like an iPad in the tub. Like, I've got my phone watching shit, but I want the iPad just like sitting there half submerged playing Netflix. Like,
I'd put it underwater, wear goggles, watch Netflix underwater.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Snorkel.
Yeah. So the last thing that I want to know about this phone, Dean, like I talked about it when we first started discussing the Z Fold 3. I think the folding screen's cool. I think obviously Samsung has the best implementation of this technology, but it doesn't feel the same as using a regular phone, right? Like, the screen has like flex to it, feels plasticky, smudges are like always all over it. It doesn't really feel like glass.
Did you take off the plastic off your phone?
The screen? The main screen protector?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You know he did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look that much better. I've seen videos of it.
I have not seen it without the screen protector. I've just been too afraid to take it off.
Yeah, I didn't take it off either based on like the early Fold models that got recalled. But I know you're allowed to now.
It is better though.
It is better. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know how much better it is, but it like my screen right now is dirty, and I want to take off the screen protector. Maybe when I get the Fold 3, I will.
Like, you can even get, like, indents in the screen, you know what I mean? Like, if you, like, leave your nail on it for too long, like, the indent shows up for a little while. Sometimes it goes away, sometimes it doesn't. I guess what I'm really asking is, like, will the screen feel more like a regular phone display, or is it still going to be the same thing that we're used to with the Fold 1 and, like, the minor improvement with the Z Fold 2?
I think it's going to be a minor I think I've seen something where it's going to be like the same type of display. It's just okay. Better.
Okay, interesting.
So I still don't think it will be up to caliber. Like, it won't be like using like a normal Samsung phone display. But I think it will be slightly better. From
any rumors about it being thinner than it was before?
Yeah,
it is a thick boy.
It's a thinner. That's like the glass. Like the thinner. It's supposed to be like a thinner, ultra thin glass UTG technology, which is why I think it would feel better.
Perhaps it might look better. You know, I mean, something I noticed on low end phones. I don't really remember what it was like using the Fold when I used it because I only had it for like a day when we made that video. But I like the OnePlus Nord N200 5G. I just reviewed it. I think it's still on the homepage. But the screen on it, like, you could see the distance between the screen and the display underneath it. And it was really annoying. Like, not always, but if you looked at the selfie camera and the hole punch camera in the top corner, you could be like, okay, there's like a few millimeters there where you can kind of see the distance. And it was a bit odd.
That's super weird for like a phone that doesn't fold.
I mean, it was a $300 phone. They're cutting corners all over the place.
Okay, so before we move on to the Z Flip 3, let's take a really quick ad break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, let's talk about the Z Flip 3. Like, I'm still working on this story where I'm talking about, like, clamshell versus, like, closing like a book. And I kind of used to think that the clamshell design was the one that made more sense as I watched Dean close it over and over again, just because it's cool. But over the last couple months, like, just playing around with the phone, it just doesn't have a point. You know what I mean? Like, if you have with the Z Fold 2, like, you have a tablet in your pocket and it folds out and it's cool. You got like a bigger screen. So it's cool and it has a practical purpose. With the Z Flip 2, it's literally just cool. There's no other reason for it. And I just found myself being like, why am I using this? Like, once the novelty of folding it wears off. So, obviously, Samsung's going with both designs again. With this, with the Z Flip 3, is there anything new with it? Is it the same general design as the Z Flip 2? Like, what should people care about with it?
I think it has a slightly bigger display. I don't actually know the display on this phone, which is why I don't know the answer to this question. So, 1 second. I think it has a slightly different display. I find that the good thing about the Z Flips, though, is just that when it's in your pocket, like, you don't have to worry about your keys or anything because
true. Phone.
Yeah. Also, I think this phone, and not to be sexist, is more geared for women, and women have a lot smaller pockets.
But it's still really thick, though, right? Like,
yeah, it's
thick, and
a lot of women's clothes straight up don't have pockets. To be fair, true.
But you can just throw this in your purse. Don't have to worry about the screen. I don't know.
I just remember
those old LG Lotus phones that had flowers on them, and they were just geared towards women. So I think
in your defense, like, that is like, if you watch Samsung's marketing campaigns, they're quite obviously targeting women with the phone incorrectly or correctly. That is what they're doing. Even when they did like a huge social media influencer blitz, like, I saw it all over TikTok. Like, yeah, you're not wrong that's what they're trying to target with it, for sure.
But it's weird that is like their thought process behind it. They're like, we made a smaller phone for women's pockets. And it's like, hey, you kind of did. It's still pretty big. and like, you're marketing it not on that, but like the fact that they can like open it up like a makeup compact and take selfies without having to like hold the phone. The marketing was a bit weird on that one, just in general.
Mm-hmm. The screen size is the same. I don't really see much of a difference between the two phones. This one and the
front isn't the front screen bigger, like where it shows the time and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's 1.9 inch is for the second one. And again, I only got this one last week, so I don't know the size. This is 1.1, so it's supposed to be slightly
So it's bigger. A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Like so the outer screen we're talking about. Shows like notifications, screen, the time. Bands,
yeah.
What else does it show there? Do you take selfies with that screen? Do I remember there being like a really tiny selfie viewfinder in that screen? Or am I like crazy? Was that a dream? Fever dream?
Oh, you can read text.
He's just discovering all of the phone's features today. All live on
the podcast. All those little outside screen.
I only started using this phone recently. I used this phone for months, but this one I only just got.
There is a mode where you can like place it on a desk and use the front facing camera to take a selfie. So it has like a tripod when it's pulled out, sort of. That is actually a pretty cool practical use for it. You can also do stuff where like you split the screen, like YouTube, you can browse the comments while you're watching a video at the top.
I saw that. Yeah.
There's a couple other apps that take advantage of it, but like a lot of those Android manufacturer specific features, there's only like a handful of apps that support it. It's the same. Like this, with the Z Fold 3, it's a little different because you can like use multitasking and put stuff on each screen. You can obviously do the same thing with the Z Flip 3 to some extent, but the apps that really, really take advantage of the phone's inherent design, there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
Just going off some specs, it's also supposed to have 2 12 megapixel cameras. So these the same as the other one, a 3300 milliamp power source.
Are they not going to do the under display camera on the flip three?
No, they're not. I think this phone's going to be And I don't think this phone will be cheaper. Like it's going to be the cheaper photo option.
Yeah,
obviously. Yeah, 1800.
An 870 chip.
American.
Instead of an 888 chip.
What the fuck?
But it will have a 120 hertz screen, which I think is probably the biggest improvement for it. Because, I don't know, using phones with 60 hertz screens feels like a step back. So even like using this, I've been feeling like
60 does weird. 90 doesn't really though. Like they could squeeze in at 90, and I think people would feel it. 90 is harder to notice the change between. It's a good step in between.
I don't really see it when I use a phone that has 120 hertz display. Like sometimes, same, depending on the content that I'm consuming, but I don't. It's never felt like a make or break feature to me, if you know what I mean. It just
iPhones only have 60 hertz, right?
Yeah.
But they have a better touch response, which kind of makes up for it.
But I've used really like Android
animations too, I think.
Yeah. I've used Android phones that have 120. I've also used like the iPad Pro. It has the Pro Motion 120, just like Apple's fancy take on it. And like,
what I'm saying
it
is
looks
you haven't
better.
Gone back to a true 60 hertz with a normal touch response in a while.
Pixel 3 is tough to use. I have my like Android 12 beta on it, and it's slow because it's an older phone, but like it you can definitely feel a lot slower.
That's a good point. I should go back and like take a look.
Slower. Just use this phone again. It definitely feels slower. So I'm excited to it will have a 120 inch screen. I think it's also supposed to be slightly thinner, but not by a lot.
Thinner for women's pockets?
For women's pockets.
I want to see that commercial.
Don't tempt like Samsung, they'll probably do it.
It's already done. You know they're just sitting on it waiting.
Which is kind of weird, because you'd think they would do like a bigger update for it, considering they went from Z Flip to Z
5G.
Flip 3. Like they skipped the Z Flip 2.
Well, to them, the 5G version, 5G which was like 2. A slight change. There's like a frosted cover.
Yeah, it has 5G now. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of it might not be worth it to be adding that many crazy features to it until they can like establish a market for it. So like last year or 2 years ago, whenever the original ones came out, it was very much like a no one should get this. This is like a test device. Here we are. The second one came out. They're like, okay, it's a little better. Like if you want to be an early adopter, this is a test device that you can use. And like maybe this is the first year where they're going to be coming out and it's like, these are real phones. You could probably buy them. Like, do you think, well, that might change that sort of perception of them? Am I off base, do you guys think? Or do you think like that's kind of how people were feeling before?
I still don't think people will buy them.
No, exactly, but it's starting to trend upwards.
They're going to be too much money, right? Like, they're still going to cost a crazy amount. Hopefully, they're a little bit cheaper than the previous gen ones. For me, like, what you're asking, Bennett, it really comes down to, like, not having compromises anymore, right? Yeah, you get this foldable screen, but then you also still get every single modern smartphone feature that everybody's used to now. And, like, I mean, with the Z Fold 3, you're getting the pen, you're getting waterproofing, which is the screen's supposed to be better. I'm assuming the camera performance, with the exception of the front-facing selfie camera, will be up to par, because it almost was last time. It'll be up to par with like the S21. I would guess that the same thing is going to be with the Z Flip 3. So with the price aside, this could be the year where like it makes sense to buy them. I think when I didn't review the Z Flip or the Z Flip 5G, but I wrote like an opinion piece out about it where I basically just said, like, if you really want a foldable phone, this is the first, because at this point when the Z Flip came out, the Z Fold 2 wasn't out yet, right?
Yeah.
And I think my take on it was just like, this is the first foldable phone that you could like go drop the $2,000 or whatever it costs on it, and the compromises don't really affect the core experience of the device. Like, you're still cool to use it. You're going to have a good time with it. It can take good pictures. It's got some cool features, but you shouldn't just go buy a regular phone.
I guess maybe I'll save this question for the end. I'll think about it. I'm gonna put it out and we'll answer at the end. But like, do you guys think this foldable thing will catch on at this point now in the life cycle?
Maybe don't
answer it yet. Save. Finish talking about the specs of the Flip, and then at the end of the podcast, we'll just like say.
Yeah, is there any more specs that you wanted to?
Basically, like, let's go through them.
It's basic phones like stuff. I definitely think it's not going to be, despite it being able to fold, it's not like their flagship phone they're trying to sell this August, right? Like, they're really, I think they're going to be really focusing more on the Z Fold 3, because it is supposed to be a much bigger upgrade in terms of having an S Pen now and this under display camera, whereas the Z Flip 3, it's just more smaller updates, where it's not like their big sell. I think it's gonna be cheaper too, so it's not gonna be like their big thing this year, so there isn't really a lot of excitement with the Flip 3.
I kind of see what you're doing. Like, the Flip 3 isn't going to replace the Note, which is typically what lots of people would be buying now once it comes out, but the Fold might. Although it'll be a tough sell. Like, the people I know with Notes, they're pretty techie people. Like, I'm gonna say the Note people are like a little nerdier than regular people, in my experience.
A lot of my friends have Notes.
Are they nerdier than regular people?
No, they just think that they need big phones. Like, they don't have a computer, and their is their crazy main computer, right?
So then the Fold is perfect.
Individuals. Yeah, I could see them seeing the Fold and being like, that's sick, I want it. But saying that it would be too expensive, right? They would need to see it on like some sort of a 2-year deal with a carrier or something like that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be
free Galaxy Buds. Get those in there.
Yeah, that type of thing would convince a lot of the people I know that aren't very techie to like ditch the Note. They're still using like a Note 6 or 7 or something. Not 7, obviously, because that doesn't exist, but they're using like a Note 6, right? To convince them to make the jump to a foldable phone, you'd have to throw in some extras, and it would have to be financed through a carrier or whatever.
I just feel like it might be a tough sell. Like, if, I mean, not that many people go into carrier stores to buy phones anymore, but I'm sure a bunch do. But if like you're like, oh, I got my old Note here from 2 years ago, I'm trying to upgrade, and you walk in, and the dude at Bell is just like, well, we don't have a Note, but like, do you want to try this one? And he like unfolds it. Do you think people are gonna be like, the fuck?
I think,
or they're gonna be like into it.
I think that guy is gonna the seller, employee is gonna show people the Fold. A lot of people are going to be fascinated by it, and then
you're probably right.
The price, and then when they're going to turn off by the price, well, they're going to be like, well, we have the S21 Ultra that also works with your S Pen, and that's how they're going to sell the S21
and
Ultra.
It's basically a Note, but S Pen fitting inside of it. Yeah, okay, that's fair. And like, I guess you're right. When I think back to like when we first went hands on with the very first Fold, like, it was Patrick's Fold to review, but they handed it to me, and I was like, he's not getting this. I put it in my pocket. I was like, this is sick.
We left that day with it, I think.
Yeah, we did. And they were like, don't tell anyone. And we're like, Ted was like, hey, can I come home with you guys? Like, hide the phone.
Yeah, it was a really cool. I remember you guys brought it to the office. I remember being like, this is so sick.
Mm-hmm. And even I was super hyped.
The Fold 2 is exciting too. And I think that people will be excited by this. People will want to buy them, especially the Fold 3. And can't, but it just won't be able to afford it. And they might decide that they can't afford the Fold 3, they're going to get the Flip 3. Who knows?
What's the sweet spot price? Like, is $1,500 where we want it to be?
That was the last thing I wanted to ask, is like, what you think the price is going to be.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the Flip 3 price.
Yeah, I think the Fold is still going to be $1,800
or Canadian? More. $1,500 Canadian?
I think it'll be like $1,500 Canadian-ish, maybe $1,600 Canadian plus tax. This is the Flip 3.
That's a decent price.
But that's for the Flip, the clamshell one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think the Fold 3 will be more like $2,600.
No way. Get out of town.
No, I'm thinking like,
no.
The Fold 2 is around that price.
Yeah, no, but they probably sold like none of them. You know,
I'm gonna look it up right now.
No, I remember it being like crazy expensive, but I think if they're trying to replace that note situation, they're it's going to be like $200 or $300 more than the note was. And the note was like, what, 16,
17? So
the Fold 2 is $2,319.
So he's not wrong. It's like after tax within that range. I think they're going to try to like hit. It's going to cost 2,000 Canadian. That's what I think. 2,000 to 2,100 Canadian, which is still too much. Like that's
for
that's
sure.
Way too much. But I think that's what it's going to cost in Canada.
You could buy like two laptops.
Like the Snapdragon 888. Like, I find that a lot of 5G phones are just more expensive in general. Then you got to include the, this was 5G too, but you got to also include the under display camera. You got to, like,
it can have all those things, but you have to, like, think about, like, regular consumers and what they're willing to spend. Like, if Samsung wants to sell a lot of these,
$2,300. I don't think they're trying to sell them. A lot of these, like, I think they make less of these phones on purpose because they know not a lot of people are gonna buy them.
Normally, but I would
not
agree
as
with
many
you.
People are gonna buy them.
Normally, I'd agree with you, but now I think that it's replacing the Note. I think they care more about sales. Like, I think that this is the year where they're expecting
Ultra
it to sell a bit more.
And their Z Flip will be the actual Note replacements.
The S21 Ultra Beam,
and then their Fold 2 is for, or their Fold 3 is literally for those like those sugar daddies who used to use the Note and now need something bigger.
I want a Note give me a Note. Put out the new Note for this year. I'm really excited for the new Note this year, guys. Are you guys? What do you think it'll be like?
They're bringing the Note 7 back.
Yeah. Not They're exploding just re-release this time. It they finally with, fixed the battery.
This time with battery that doesn't explode.
Nice.
I think this is what we're going to get. I think it's going to be expensive. But I think that people will still buy them and they're going to look cool. And I'm excited to review them in a few weeks. Or assuming that we get them in Canada around the same time as the Americans.
I think we will at this point. I think
you
we
think
will.
You think you will?
Yeah. I think this is going to be different.
I'm kind of excited about all the speculation leading up into this launch. Like, usually we kind of like, okay, they did this last year and did this last year and did this the year before. So we kind of can like judge about like what's going to happen, what chess moves are going to be made.
Yeah.
But with this and like the scrapping of the Note line and the two foldables and like, there's a lot of fun speculation. Like, what's going to happen? Like, I'm going down to the track. I'm placing my bets on Samsung and we're going to see.
Pro
line. I know we're not like planning to talk about this, but also exciting that they're going to launch the Galaxy Watch with Android Wear.
That's cool.
Are we not talking about that? I thought we were gonna.
I didn't have it in the notes. We can briefly chat about it. Like, obviously, Android Wear needs something big. Like, and this could be it, right? Like, I'm an Apple Watch user. I love the Apple Watch. It's hard to beat that thing. Like, there is literally no competition. And I'd love to see like an Android alternative. And I think this partnership with
Wear, we can't see. You're still Game Boy.
Yeah. Well, the recording, you'll be able to see it. It's just us live. We can't see it, I think.
If you can't see it, I'm holding up an Apple Watch on a chain. That's it. I hope
there may or may not be a YouTube video about that.
That's really awesome. He showed me clips of some of his YouTube videos, and I'm very excited.
Wait, I'll see if I can pull this into focus.
That reminded me like kind of like a Digivice. I feel like at some point, devices were on chains.
At one point,
if you're badass enough, probably.
What else are they supposed to show off at this event? There'll also be the new Galaxy Buds,
and that's it.
Pro two Buds
Plus, or just the Buds two?
I've just been calling them Buds 2, so I'm hoping that's what
I think it's
called.
Just the Buds 2.
Okay.
So what the sort of situation would be, it was like originally it was Galaxy Buds, and then there was something else, and there was Galaxy Buds Plus, then Galaxy Buds Live, and now we're going back with Galaxy Buds 2?
Yeah. I have the Live in right now. It's still my favorite headphones.
Yeah, I have the Lives in too.
I think I ate a Galaxy Bud Plus.
You ate it?
I don't know. I fell asleep with it in and woke up and it was gone. And like, you know, I didn't walk away. So it wasn't in
the toilet
bed.
For it later?
No, I didn't. But like, I don't know. I know I didn't eat it, but like, I just like, where did it go? I don't know. Like, it's gone. I moved. It was never anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, it just rolled. It fell deeper into my ear. Like deep in my skull.
So no, that's probably a good place to wrap up the episode. We'll talk about the games that we're playing.
Can we answer Bennett's question?
What was his question?
Do you remember? It was something like,
you want us to answer, but you don't remember it.
I remember my answer.
I know it was like something like, do we feel like the note, or do
no?
We miss
it
the
was
note?
Something to do with foldables. Because my answer to it was Samsung is giving out displays to like freaking everyone who wants a Samsung display foldable.
Oh, do we think foldables are going to continue, or is this just a flash in the pan? And we're going to
they're
going to
continue.
Yeah.
You
like,
think so?
I don't know.
There's rumors Apple's working on the technology. Like,
yeah,
it's hard for these manufacturers to get people excited about phones again, right? This is whether or not it's like worthwhile.
But is this exciting people is the question, really? I think it is.
I see people talk about it all the time. People that have like no connection to tech. Like,
all right.
People are so excited for the Pixel foldable.
Yes. Whether for better or worse, this is like the future of phone design. That's my last thing. Yeah.
And Samsung designed the display for literally Oppo, ZTE, I think, Vivo, and Google. So we're all, it's just going to
say. That means OnePlus too, then. Because OnePlus is
Oppo. Yeah, Oppo, yeah. So I think like we're going to be seeing a lot more foldables this year. In Canada, we'll probably only see the Samsung ones. You might see the Google ones. But,
if it even comes out this year, I think they're going to wait. I don't think the market's proven.
I don't think so. I think because of the Pixel 5, this year is going to be a huge, like they have a huge Pixel 6 Pro, Pixel 6, and those cool looking phones that John Prosser leaked billion months ago. And then now
I don't remember any cool looking phones. I remember some like really awkward looking phones.
Oh, I thought they looked cool.
I thought they looked cool too.
And we're gonna get a foldable from Google this year. I think we're gonna get those, and that's gonna be Samsung's main competition with foldables in Canada.
Can you guys hear that? There's like a massive storm out my window.
I can't hear it. No.
That's funny. No. Okay. Interesting.
It was storming here too in Toronto, but. It was.
He just goes and looks at the window.
Yeah, Brad, it's not storming anymore.
Yeah, I can confirm. Weather report, mid Syrupcast weather report, overcast.
I'm going to open this window. I want to see.
but yeah, I don't know. Okay, so you guys both think like foldables are here to stay. I'm not really sold on it. I don't think people are willing to pay the premium for it. And I don't think that, I mean, as the one person who hasn't used one like full time, I guess, I don't see people like being that excited about it. I think I'd rather a thinner, lighter, better battery in a regular
phone.
Yeah, me
too. That's what I would like.
That's all I want.
I just don't see that happening. I think people are hyped about them.
I think these phones are going to get thinner. Like the ones that fold like this will get thinner, and these will replace a lot of normal phones.
I have that same case as you on my Z Flip.
Yeah, if they're
5G.
That's expensive.
I have that case. I just don't have a Z Flip to put in it, whatever.
Okay, let's wrap this up and talk about the games that we've been playing. So I haven't been doing much. I was on vacation last week. Don't really know what's going on in the tech world. Went sailing a bunch. I played Microsoft Flight Simulator on the weekend. That was fun. Smashed a jumbo jet into my house. Drove over my parents' house. Tried to find my parents' cottage. Couldn't find the lake. We'll probably still do that at some point. Yeah. It's a cool game. Had fun messing around with it. But like once I've done those things, like finding my house and like trying a few different types of planes, like I feel like I'm almost already done with it just because there's not a lot of game to it. You know what I mean? Like it's a simulator. It is what it is. I understand that's the purpose to it. I just wish there's like a little bit more structure in some ways, maybe.
I think I wrote about that in my review where it's just like, the simulation aspect of it is really, really good, especially if you have all the gear, because it feels so real and it's so much like, wow, I'm flying. But yeah, like after you get over that like initial like, wow, I'm flying, you're just like,
yeah,
do I want to do landing challenges? No, I want to do like cool like dog fighting and like fun things in the sky, and just this isn't the game for that.
Yep.
Play chicken in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be
sick. Very like, it's a niche game. Like I played it once at your place and I was like, all right, mm-hmm. Well, this is the most I'll ever need to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, Pat, is flying over places you know is fun. And it's like where my mind and everyone that I ever played the game, they're like, okay, I want to see my house. I want to see my house. I want to see my house. Everyone, even when I took it to my grandpa, he's like, let's fly over the house. It's like, all right. But I find like flying over other parts of the world that you're not used to is actually more interesting, because it's like
interesting.
The graphics are so good that it seems so real. So when you're like flying over Tokyo and like you see like Mount Fuji or like in the Caribbean and like the waves on like the white sand beaches and like these really like more foreign locations to us, that part is really fun to do too. Or like flying through like those really crazy like farm hills in China, just like, or the Grand Canyon, trying to like go through the Grand Canyon. I had a lot of fun with one time, like trying to fly in the
flew down Queen Street. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Queen Street or Queen Street Toronto?
Queen Street in Toronto.
What airport do you take off of in Toronto, like Billy Bishop or the big one, Pearson?
I was taking off from Pearson, and then when I was flying to my parents' place, I was taking off from like some little tiny airport, like just outside of Barrie. I can't even remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like flying to really foreign locales is fun. Like you could probably get another hour of play time out of that. And then the other thing is playing with the weather, just flying and like mid-flight. I don't know how it works on console, but mid-flight you can control the weather, so you can be like fly way up and then like drop the clouds below you and like set it to sunset, and you're just like zipping like with your through the clouds, like in and out, you can't see, and all the instruments like go away and you dash and you pop out and the rays of sunshine are coming through. So there are like some really good things. I would say like, yeah, try tropical locations, try like just playing in the rain, playing in the sunset, playing with the clouds, like just like seeing sort of what the game can offer, because I think graphics wise it's incredible, and I think it's like worth seeing or playing like another hour and a half just to kind of like knock out a few things and cool. Then move on. Yeah,
give it a shot. What have you been playing, Bennett?
Nothing really. Just been busy. I got another Porsche Taycan to review for the videos that we keep like hinting at. So I've been like driving that around a lot lately, and it feels like a video game. You know, I feel like I'm playing Forza in real life. Just kidding. I'm driving it really responsibly.
You posted a video on your Instagram, right? Or you posted something?
Yeah, there are some. I've been posting a lot of like footage that I've shot on my Instagram, like the really like nice money shots. But I got some really good like slow motion on the gimbal and the sunset, where it's just like you can see the sun like just creeping over like the beautiful curves of the car.
Or it some
like
great
shots of it driving in the rain, where I'm like leaning out of. I mean, somebody is leaning out of a 4Runner as I'm driving it.
Yeah, all this video.
I
think
I was stoned when I saw your video.
Yeah, and was even
like,
better.
Whoa, how did you do this? Like, mind blown. Because I'm like, did you have someone in another car follow you along? And then, are they who's driving? Is anyone driving? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. But it looked really cool.
My buddy has a 4Runner, and the 4Runner's cool because the back window, like, that has like the windshield wiper on it, goes up and down like a regular window, so you can like film out the back, which is really convenient. Yeah, super smart. When I found it, I was like, what? Cars even have this? I was stoked. But yeah, there's something else I was gonna say. Oh yeah, this story I wanted to tell. This dude, I was filming the Taycan on Sunday night, and this dude came up to me and was just like, hey dude, like what do you do? And I was like, oh, like I'm like explaining my grift, you know. It's like I review things. Sometimes they're cool things, sometimes they're like earbuds. But he's like, oh, I thought you were just a photographer. I was gonna ask you if you could take pictures of my car. And I was like, oh, I'm almost done, sure. And so this dude gave me $30, and he like whipped his car around. He had like a Mercedes AMG. Him and his buddies had like come from a party, and they were just like, they were feeling themselves. And so I took a bunch of pictures of him with his car, and he paid me $30 for it, which was, it was funny. And then like literally mid photo shoot, he was like, I'm like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm an investor, you know, like Bitcoin and stuff. It's like, yeah, okay. And he pulls out his phone. He's like, oh my God, the price of Bitcoin's up. I just made 50K. And originally he was like going to give me $20. He was like, I'll pay you 30 now. I was like, okay. And he did. He paid me $30 and I sent him like 6 photos. I basically re-outfitted this dude's Tinder. Just money shots of his car, him on the car. And that's it. But as funny as it was, it kind of felt cool to be like paid for a photo. I mean, obviously, like technically paid for the photos I do for Mobile Syrup in the sense that like I work here and get paid. But to like go out and just like have some dude like give me money for a photo was pretty cool.
You're a freelance photographer now.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly have been thinking like ever since that happened, I'm like, I might just like take those photos, take some of my other car photos, put them on like Fiverr and just like tell people like, hey, I'll take your car photos and then like, you know, $30 an hour.
You should do it. More.
I know, I'm thinking it. Like I like taking car photos and I'd like to get like a lot better at it too. So it could be fun.
All right, Dean, what have you been playing?
Pokemon Unite. Because I am a Pokemon fan.
My buddy messaged me yesterday. And he was like, you got to get Pokemon Unite. And I was like, the League of Legends one? And he was like, yeah, man, I'm a Gengar main. You got to get on.
I'm a Gengar main.
No way.
Yeah, Gengar is OP. So is Lucario. Wow. I'm both those. But yeah, I love it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's on the Switch. It's free. Of course, it's some pay-to-win elements to it. But there is kind of like you don't have to pay to win. But yeah, man, I am super. And I've never seen this before.
Never
this
seen
Game
what?
Game Boy camera?
Oh yeah,
I told you. I was gonna find it.
Was the Game Boy camera conversation before we started recording?
No. It was during the podcast.
Okay. Cool. So yeah. Dean, Patrick just sent Dean a link of the Game Boy camera. Now, full circle.
You've seen it, have you not?
I've never seen this before.
I don't believe you. There's no way.
No. This looks so weird. Sick. My first Game Boy was a Game Boy Color. Does that make a difference? Like I used the purple color, like the one that you can see through. That was mine.
This came out roughly when the Game Boy camera came out. When the Game Boy Color came out, like in the same like 2 years-ish, because there's like Game Boy Color specific features on it.
I didn't get my first game until Pokemon Silver or Game Boy until Pokemon Silver came out. So 1999. So maybe it predates me in gaming.
Who knows? I'm going to look up the release year now.
It definitely predates me, but
98.
I've seen it.
98.
Oh, so it doesn't. It was a year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like within the same time.
But like we're not going to judge you for what you like took in and remembered from being like 5 years old.
Six?
But
yeah.
I will.
Yeah, I wasn't 10 like you, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick, we didn't go to school, you know?
Yeah,
I was still like... being babysat by my grandma all the time.
Dean's not even that much younger than me.
I'm not that much younger than him, no.
I think that's a good place to wrap it up. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, wherever, @TheBradFad, and then on mobilesyrup.com, and soon, well, probably at some point, all of us, but it's also Mobile Syrup on YouTube, which is just, once again, Mobile Syrup.
Mid-August, you'll see some cool stuff on our YouTube channel.
I hope so. It's going to be intense. It's going to be intense stuff. Bring your kids. No, don't. Yeah.
Bring your kids.
I'm probably going to head over to Brad's house sometime next month with his foldables and do some foldable stuff, too.
Yeah, cool. I think we'd like to shoot some sort of short hands-on or review type video with just like the new foldables and if they're worth it, something straightforward.
And Dean, where can people find you?
At the Daily Dean. Daily spelled like my last name. I'm thinking about changing it though to maybe like Daily spelled like the word.
We actually went through this on the last pod because I was considering changing to Brad News Energy.
You can change your display name, just not your like actual name.
Well, my display name right now is XOXO Gossip Girl.
Yeah, you can change that. That's great. That's on brand.
But apparently, we could look into it a little more, but apparently if you change your handle, you lose verification, perhaps.
If you change your like actual handle, you do lose your verification, I believe. Should I watch Gossip Girl, Dean, on a final note before we end
the
podcast?
The new one or the old one?
The new one.
The new one is fine. Like, I mean, did you watch the old one?
A little bit.
Do you have a frame of reference? Only a little bit? Then it's better.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
people who
love the old one are like, this is not the same, blah blah blah, there's none of the same characters, and I'm like, guys, it's supposed to be like Gossip Girl now.
Yeah,
it's different. It's
Gossip
premise.
Girl is just a state of mind, all right, guys?
There's a lot more POC, there's a lot more LGBT, it's better. I'm in love. Yeah,
cool.
That's modern TV.
Maybe I'll check it out.
I've watched each episode a few times.
Wow, really?
No.
Oh.
I think I watched the first two episodes a few times, but not the last one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. And as always, you can find all of our content at mobileserve.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobileserve. Thanks for listening and watching.
Peace.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.